Today's share in the Dear Shur Mishnah Brura Yomi program is Daf Samach Gimel Omid Beis. We are in the sixth volume of Mishnah Brura, and we are beginning a brand new Simon Tov Kuf Pei Test, Halachos of Mi Heim Haruyim Litkia Shofar, who is capable of blowing shofar. Now, we begin with Sif Aleph the Mechaber. Kol She'enu Mechuyi B'Dover, Enu Motzi Acherim Yidei Chobosim. Anybody who's not obligated in the mitzvah of listening to the sounds of the shofar can't be Motzi other people in blowing the sounds of the shofar. The Mishnah Berurah explains Sivkot Aleph. For example, Hainu, She'enu Mechuyi B'Etzim. Somebody is not at all obligated in the mitzvah, Ulekameh, as we'll explain in a few moments. That person can't be Motzi other people. But if the person is obligated in the mitzvah, but he already fulfilled the mitzvah, he is still called someone who is obligated in the mitzvah. And therefore, he could even go and be motzi afilu levarech, even to make the bracha bishul chaveru for his friend who has not yet fulfilled the mitzvah. A number of Dershu footnotes. The Dershu footnotes are found already on the next page. And we look at Dershu footnote number one. Ubal tokeya onein, if Rachmanu Litzlan, the person who is supposed to blow shofar, has a relative that he has to bury. And he's going to plan on burying that person that day on Rosh Hashanah via non-Jewish people, which is allowed. So, he brings down from that sefer, it's not clear he can do this. Why? Because he's taking care of the needs of the mace, so he's considered already preoccupied, and therefore it's not mechuyev in the dover, and therefore Shelus Utshuvas Tuv Tam V'Das says Tzorich Iyun. However, he brings down the Prima Godim, who says Kishein Bal Tokeya Acher. If there is nobody else to go blow shofar, Yitoka Onein, then the Onein would be allowed to go Yotzi Sarabi Dechovosin and can blow for everybody else. However, the Prima Godim himself says Shonein Einu Yochel Otzi Achem Dechova. He doesn't think that they can do that, and he's left with the Tzorich Iyun. Then he says, what happens if the Onein heard somebody else blow shofar and intended to be Yotzi with that, and then he buried the mace. So the Shel Shuvas Divrei Malkiel says he should try to hear the shofar again, but don't make a bracha when he hears the second time the blowing of the shofar. In Ein Bev Shiruso, Likvor Asameis Adli Achar Tvila, and it's impossible for him to bury the mace because everybody's also in the davening, and they're only going to bury the mace after the davening is over. So then during the davening, he's not considered Osek b'mitzvah, and therefore the Mishnah Berurah writes later on, Shein lo din onein. He doesn't have the din of an onein at that point and can listen to the shofar. What happens if somebody is told by the doctors, do not blow shofar, it's dangerous for you, and he chooses to blow shofar anyway? So Dayan Weiss, that's all. The Shel Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak says he's not allowed to blow shofar, and if he did blow shofar, he's not fulfilling the mitzvah. It's called the mitzvah haba b'aveira. And the Marmashik adds even further, and he says, Shein kan el aveira, it's a pure aveira. He didn't perform a mitzvah at all. The issue footnote number two says that, yes, you can make the bracha of l'shmo kol shofar for the other person, even though you already were yotzei, and even the shechiyanu you can say for the other person. The issue footnote number three says, l'chatchila, however, the people who are being yotzei, they, if they're capable, should make the bracha themselves, rather than having the person who's blowing the shofar make the bracha like he normally does, but he's already been yotzei, so they ideally should make the bracha. This certainly applies to women. The Rama says, in kri yotzei ein yochel levarach lehen, if he was already yotzei and he's blowing for women who aren't obligated, so then he shouldn't make the bracha for them. They should make the bracha for themselves. Sif Beis, the Mechaber writes, cheresh shotev katon, a person who is incapable of, normally a cheresh is somebody who can't normally both hear or speak. Here we're going to be seeing, we're only talking about a person who can't hear. So this type of a cheresh, a shota, a person who's not mentally competent, and a katan, a person who is not a bar chiyuva on a darais level, we'll explain all of this in a moment, he's not obligated on a Torah level because of his age and physiological maturity, or lack of such, so then, pturim, they are not obligated in blowing shofar. Mishbur and Sivkot and Beis explains, afilu ben gin yudgim b'shonim, this katan that we said is not obligated hasn't reached physiological maturity for certainty, so even though he's reached chronological maturity, he's 13 years old, kozmashli adin, unless we're absolutely certain, shevi shtei saros, that he has physiological maturity, as evidenced by two pubic hairs, eni yochol uskoa lotzi achem, he can't be blowing shofar for anybody else to be motzi them. Now, Dirshu footnote number four explains that mitzad chinuch, so you're supposed to go and blow shofar for a katan that understands that this is a mitzvah of blowing shofar. And you should bring your children to shul if they're of that age, as long as they don't disturb the tzibur. But he says that the children are much younger than that, or if there's a chance that they'll disturb the tzibur, then they should stay on the women's section side, because the women technically aren't obligated, and if the child disturbs, he'll disturb them, rather than somebody who's obligated, such as people on the men's side. The age of this chinuch, it all depends on each child, of course, but as long as the child is old enough that he understands that this is a mitzvah of listening to the shofar, so then that would reach the age of chinuch, according to Rav Yashiv Zatzal. It brings down further, even if such a child is this age but can't come to shul, you should bring the shofar to him and blow at home for him. The issue, foot number 5, brings down the famous Chazaka Derava, which means that we can assume that most bar mitzvah age boys are also physiologically mature, you don't have to check, and therefore for any din derabanan, we can rely upon this Chazaka Derava, but not for a din daraisa. That's why a bar mitzvah boy in many shuls, whose bar mitzvah on Parsha Zohar, will not lay in the maftir, because you need to be a vadai gadol for that. Now, exactly why that's true, so some suggest it's because it's just a typical din of Chazaka, which you can't rely upon to be machmir for a din daraisa, so we don't rely upon it. Or others suggest, no, because it's really a suffix. The Chazaka derav is a suffix. So by a din derabanan, we go suffix derabanan lekula, and by a din daraisa, we go suffix deraisa lechumra. Even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Ritzi Pesach Frang Zatzal brings down that the same dinim apply. He bases it on Mishnah Berurah. Shagam b'yom tov sheni tkiyas shofar kodemus l'tfila b'tzibur. That if you have a choice of only one of the two, you can either listen to go to a town that has a shofar blowing but won't have a minyan, or go to a town that has a minyan. He says you go to the town that has the shofar blowing. So you see that's a more severe din, and therefore imkain afshir, he suggests shuadin in chazaka derava that yom tov sheni dinu kim rishish yom tov rishon. So the same din that we don't rely upon chazaka derava for the first day of Rosh Hashanah would also apply to the second day of Rosh Hashanah. The issue footnote number 6 brings down that for this bar mitzvah age boy, who we don't know for certain has shtei saras, he can't even be motze another similar aged boy, because maybe the one who is blowing doesn't have shtei saras, and the one who's listening does have shtei saras, and therefore one is not mechuyev and can't be motze the other. As opposed to, it's possible that if both of them are really ketanim, that one katan could be motze another katan. Now the Mechaber continues and he says, what type of chayr should we be talking about? I already explained that this is talking about afilu medaber. He's not a full-fledged chayrish. He can speak. The eno shomea, but he's unable to hear, so then eno motzei, because the mitzvah is the kivin, the eno shomea, since if he can't hear, lad bar chiyuvu, because the mitzvah is to lishmoa kol shofar. So the fact that he can speak doesn't help us in this situation. Vice versa, the Ramah says, hagah, avol shomea, if he does have the capacity to hear, even though eno medaber, he doesn't have the capacity to speak, then motzi achei midir chobosim. He brings down to the Beis Yosef that in fact is an obligated person, and he could be motzi other people by blowing shofar. Sivkot and Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, shahari anu mevarchim mitzivanu lishmoa kol for. The bracha is mitzivanu lishmoa kol shofar, and if he doesn't hear, so he can't say that. The issue footnote number 7 brings down, what happens if a person is hard of hearing, and maybe can hear thunder and very loud sounds, but can't really distinguish between the kolos, is also considered not mechuyev badavar. The issue foot number 8 brings down that according to the Rambam, the Rosh, Ikar mitzvah, he shmias kol shofar, that the tekiah is rak hechsha mitzvah, and listening to the sound is the critical thing. So then, mikol makom tekiah scheri shot v'kotin einom well. Certainly won't be good. And he explains in the Sfas Emes, Chazonish, and the Moshe Feinstein, the Igus Moshe, all Zatzal say shetzorich lishmoa kol tekiah shal mitzvah. You must hear the actual blowing the sound of a mitzvah. And only kishatokehu bar chiyuva is it a tekiah of a mitzvah. So that's why a person who can't hear is not allowed to blow shofar. The issue, footnote number 9 brings down, ideally, if he's making the bracha for other people, he should ideally be fulfilling his mitzvah as well. Mr. Brewer, Sivkot and Dalit, adds on, and he says, ideally, one should be the one to blow and make the bracha. But even l'chachila, if somebody else is making the bracha and you blow, you're okay. But like we just pointed out, ideally, you should be yotzei with that bracha as well. And then he adds, if a person who's hard of hearing is able to hear with some sort of a tube or shofares or chatzotros, so then chayav b'shofar. Then, in fact, he is obligated. The issue for number 10 brings down the whole question of hearing aids. It brings up for Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, who wrote a lot about this, and he writes, also from Rotzi Pesach Frank, and also from Dayan Weiss, all of them Zatzal, Shane's a Nechshav Kol Shofar. When you're listening via your hearing aid, that's not considered hearing the Kol Shofar, and you're not Yotze. And therefore, somebody who wears a hearing aid should turn off the hearing aid, preferably, and listen to the sounds of the Shofar without the hearing aid. And if he doesn't hear it without the sounds of the hearing aid, so then, while he can obviously listen with the hearing aids, and if he's Yotze, he's Yotze. If he's not Yotze, he's not Yotze, but he wouldn't be allowed to make the bracha. And he likewise couldn't serve as the Baal Tokeya. Siv Gimel, the Mechaber writes, Isha Peturah, women are not obligated in the mitzvah of shofar blowing. Why? Mishum Deve mitzvah seishas man grom. It's a time-dependent mitzvah. You must blow the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. You can't blow the shofar when you have time, when you're free. So therefore, it's a time-dependent mitzvah and it's a seishas man grom, and women are not obligated. Noshim Tzidkonios, the righteous women, have accepted upon themselves that they do want to hear the listening to the shofar, and they are perfectly allowed to do so. And it's a wonderful thing. They get a great mitzvah for doing so. And in fact, Ashkenazim say that they're even allowed to make the bracha, Shekhar Shem Sovet Sivan Lishmoa Kol Shofar, whereas Sfardim, they hold, like the Rabbeinu Tam, that they aren't allowed to go and make the bracha. The issue footnote number 15 says, however, the Shechianu, the Rabbeinu Noach, brings down Af Noshim Shenot Lus Lulav Enogo Shalolav Rachal Tilaso, that he says there by women who take the Lulav Nesu, but they hold, like the Rabbeinu Tam, like Tosos, that one does not make a bracha, the Sfardim's opinion, so then, Mikomokom, Shechianu, they're allowed to make the bracha. However, Shlomo Zalman disagrees, and he says, according to those, like the Mechaber, that say that they don't make brachos, so they shouldn't make a Shechianu as well. Sif Dalet, androgynous. Androgynous is a man of unclear genitalia. He has both what we call simen zacharis and simen nakris. He has both male and female features in his genitalia. So he's motzi yismino. All androgynouses are considered alike. They're both male and female, and therefore they either are all mechuyav or all not mechuyavos, and therefore they can be motzi one to the other. Sif Katan Hey in the Mishnah Berurah, he says, they're called androgynous shavim. They're all the same. They have sheish lem zachus and akus. They're both male and female genitalia. And if one of them is a zachar, the other is a zachar. And if one of them is a female, the other one's a female. I will any yochel lahotzi as she'enamina, but they can't be yotzi anybody else because maybe they're halachically women, and therefore a woman is not obligated and can't blow to be motzi somebody else. As opposed to, the Mechaber continues, a tumtum. A tumtum is a person who has unclear genitalia. There's some sort of a membrane there covering it up. And it's either male or female, but not both. And it's not a separate bria. Everyone can be different. Therefore, the Mechaber says, a tumtum, afilu mino, eino motzi. Even another tumtum, he can't be motzi. And the Mishbura adds, a sivkot vav. Why? Because the shemo imi korea, if you were to open up this membrane, you might say, shetumtum zen, a cave of a chayre zachar, because they're not all the same. So even though they have some sort of a superficial similarity to each other, one of them may be a male, and one of them may be a female. We don't know which one is which, and therefore, one cannot be motzi the other. And he says this is true. V'af b'yom sheni, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, which technically is the Rabbanon, shu the Rabbanon, naktinim k'chol chumras yom rishon. We take all upon the stringencies of the first day on the second day as well. However, miu, ap yom rishon, imshom azochem etumtum. If a man heard from a tumtum, so maybe it was Yosef, maybe he wasn't, so he should go listen again, chos v'tokea. However, he brings up from the Prima Godim, below bracha, because maybe he was already Yotze. Finally, tumtum the androgynous, ap dechayav netkoa, even though they're obligated to go and blow shofar, but they shouldn't make a bracha on the blowing of the shofar because maybe they're not obligated. And this goes according to the opinion that says if you're not obligated, you don't make a bracha. Because the bracha, the rabbanon, usveka lakula, and therefore you go lakula, according to the opinion that if you're not obligated, you don't make a bracha. The issue footnote 11 talks about the similar situation with putting on a talis. Do you make a bracha? Not ayin in the issue footnote number 11. Sif Hei, Mechaber writes, Mishe Chetzio Evod, the Chetzio Ben Chorin. We don't have this today, but certainly in the times of the Gemara, somebody could be partially owned by somebody else and partially a free person. He originally belonged to two different masters, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven freed him, Shimon did not, so he's half a free person from the half that Reuven freed, and he's half a slave, the half that still is owned by Shimon. So somebody in this limbo status, half Evod, half Ben Chorin, which the Gemara talks about that Beis Hillel was molded to Beis Shammai, that you should force the owner to free the other half, and he'll write an IOU to pay off the debt that is now owed to the former owner, but that is certainly recommended. In any event, you have this person, Chetzio Evod, Chetzio Ben Chorin, Afilu Atzmo, even himself, Eino Motzi Afilu Atzmo, he can't even blow for himself. Why? So the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkan Zayin, explains the law of Osi Tzad Avdo Shabo Umotzi Tzad Chayu Shabo, because the half of him that is an Eved can't blow for the half of him that is a free person. And the issue footnote number 12 further explains from the Sefer Mikroi Kodesh, She'ein HaChisorin B'tkiyah. It's not there's a problem in the actual blowing. The Chisorin is in the Shmi and the listening. She'atzad Chayrus M'chuyiv L'shmoa Ko Shofar Shobar Chiyuva, because the half of him that's free is obligated to hear a full-fledged mitzvah sound. And the person who is blowing, who is half an Eved, is not blowing a full-fledged mitzvah sound. Siv Vav, the Mechaber writes, Afal pi shenoshim peturos, even though women, as we pointed out, are not obligated to blow shofar, to hear shofar, yecholos litkoa. They nevertheless could blow shofar for themselves. V'chein, acher shiyotzar, kvar yochol litkoa lotzion. And somebody who already was yotze with the blowing of the shofar for himself, a man, is allowed to blow for women. However, avol ein mevarchos, they shouldn't make a bracha in that situation, v'lo yivarch len, and he shouldn't make the bracha for them. What's going on over here? So we look in the Mishnah Berurah, siv katan ches, he points out, v'lo amrinim, we don't say in this situation, the kivin dipturos, since women are not obligated, yeshchilu yontif b'tkiyosa, that there's a problem with them blowing on yontif, that's not true. The kaimalon, godol mitzvah v'yoseh, mimishena mitzvah v'yoseh, even though we say that a person who is obligated is doing a greater mitzvah than somebody who's not obligated, amo, d'mishena mitzvah v'yoseh, namisochar yeshlo. So we see that even though you may not be obligated, you still get schar. You get more schar if you're obligated, but it doesn't say you get no schar if you're not. So therefore you get less schar, but you get schar even if you're not obligated. And therefore, women could blow the shofar for themselves. But then the same thing applies. Katan yochol liskoa af lechachila kidei sheis chanech. A katan could blow for himself because that's part of the mitzvah chinuch. Uchadiyisal come on b'simon tafkuf tzadiva bago. We'll see this in the Ramah later on in simon tafkuf tzadiva. The issue footnote number 13 brings down how many blast does a woman have to blow. So he brings down from over Yashiv Zatzal, She'ini Shatzrich Lishmo as Kol HaMeah Kolos. The custom that women have accepted upon themselves is not to listen to all the 100 Kolos, to be Yotzei with just 30 Kolos. And this is the 30 Kolos that we blow, for example, before Musaf. Or Shloshim Kolos Shal Musaf, O Shal Achri Musaf. They can hear any one of the groupings, it doesn't make a difference which one. Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita says, V'vimashi isha kibla alatzma. It goes, depends on what the woman accepted upon herself. Shim kibla alatzma rak tkios der aisa. If she accepted on herself to blow those Torah-required blasts, saying, Tzvich l'shmo alo shloshim kolos, then she only has to hear 30. But if she accepted upon herself the tkios der rabbanon, so that's another 30, since she has to hear 60 kolos. And if she accepted upon herself even the minok to blow 100 kolos, then she'd have to go and listen to 100 kolos. Mr. Bruce Sivkot and Tess tells us that Rotsa Lomar, Av Shiyotza, if the man has already been Yotze, we allow him to blow for a woman, we don't say, V'lo Amrinim, the Kibin Shuatzim, Reino Tzorech Hatol Is Koaz. Since he no longer is obligated to go and blow shofar, he was already Yotze, you might have thought that it's Osir for him to blow for her, to over Mishum Shvus, Kishito Kea Bishvilon, that he's doing something wrong, he's doing his over the Rabbanim by blowing for them. Then we call Malcolm, no. As we've already explained, they may not get the same schar as a man, but they still get tremendous schar for listening, even as a eino mitzvah v'yoseh, as somebody who's not obligated who does it. So therefore, it's not a shvus for him to go and blow shofar for them. However, we said that you don't make a bracha in that situation, neither him nor them. And the Mishmur and Sivkot Yud explains, how are you going to say, demau v'tzivanu b'dover sheinu m'chuyevus? How can he say for them, or they say for themselves, asher kishon mitzvah v'tzivanu? That's a problem. And in this situation, lo midi v'torv, lo midi v'sofer, they're not obligated under the rice or under the rabbanu level. The isha b'mitzvah seishas man groma peturos afi the rabbanu. Because even if you say that it's the second day, for example, that it's midi rabbanu, women are not obligated in time-dependent mitzvos, even if they're the rabbanu. Albeit there are exceptions, for example, like the Dali Kosos and Megillah, that's because af hein ayu ba'osu anes. That's because they were included in the miracle, and therefore sometimes, even though it's a mitzvah seishas man groma, they can be dependent, required on a rabbanu level. But in general, we follow the rule, came the Raisa Tikkun, and therefore, just like women are not obligated on a mitzvah say the Raisa, they're usually not obligated on a mitzvah say the Rabbanon as well. With this, we conclude today's shir.